What is up, everybody? I'm Charles T. Hamilton. I'm your host here for the Locked On Warriors podcast. Got another good one for you today. SI has completed their top 100 player projections for 2018-19 season. We are going to get to that, and I'm sure you can imagine there are plenty of Warriors still left in those rankings. So we'll get to that in a little bit more. Coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Another good one for you. As I mentioned, Sports Illustrated came out with top 100 player projections for this upcoming season. And they broke it down into three different parts, three different sections. 100 through 50, which we got to the other day, that had Andre Iguodala at 87 and DeMarcus Cousins at 68. And as I mentioned, it's strictly a projection for this next season. And that's why Boogie was where he was at. It's because he's going to miss at least half the season probably, and no one knows what he's going to be when he gets back. So he could easily outplay his positioning here at 68, his almost nice spot. Andre at 87 feels a little low, but it's also for the regular season where Andre, you know, he's coasting along. He's got 16 games he's got to prepare for at the end of the year more than anything. So those are understandable. We went over those recently. And then they went, what was it? I think 50 to 30 and then 30 to 20 or something like that. But I think 50 to 20. Either way, it doesn't matter. But Klay was in there at 22. Day-Day was 13. Steph was 3. And KD was 2. And I bet you can guess who was number 1. So we'll get to that. I'm going to break all those down. Some really great stuff in these breakdowns also. I would suggest you guys go check it out. It's a Sports Illustrated Top 100. Quick Google. Throw it in the Google machine, and you should be able to find it real easy. I would suggest everyone go read it. But I'm going to break those down coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton, and we are breaking down the Sports Illustrated Top 100 player projections for 2018-19. And as I mentioned before the break, Andre at 87, Boogie at 68, almost nice. Klay, 22, Draymond, 13, Steph, 3, KD, 2, and then LeBron at 1. I just had to throw that in there. I know LeBron's not on the Warriors, guys. Don't come yelling at me on Twitter, please. Or do it, at CTH415. Let me throw that out there. Yeah, you guys, hit me up. Whatever you guys want to hear about on these podcasts, let me know. These podcasts are for you. I know the season's starting soon. I can't wait. I think we're 33 days away from opening night. I'm chomping at the bit. Even though football has started, it's a great A's baseball season, man. It's all exciting, but I'm ready for some Warriors basketball. Or just some NBA in general, really. Should I do a league pass rankings? Let me know. Because I've got some thoughts on league pass, or at least league pass teams that I think are going to be worth looking at this year. But now I'm getting off topic. I'm like that dog in that, is it Up, I think? The animated movie where the dog, squirrel! That's me. I find a squirrel and just lose my train of thought. And I'm very easy to distract. So let's get back to it. Klay Thompson was ranked number 22 on the SI player projections, which sounds about right. And you know, I talked about Klay the other day, and so you all know my affinity for Klay Thompson. I think he's the best number two option in the NBA. He's the best at playing that role. He may not be the best player that's a number two option, but he's the best in playing that role for sure. And I feel like teams try and take players like Paul George and fit him into that role, and it doesn't always work out. Anyways, Klay Thompson. Last year, 20 points per game, 3.8 rebounds, 2.5 assists. The rebounds and assists are up a little bit. You know, I would like to see a little bit more. A little bit more in those areas, but again, you only have so many opportunities, especially the assists. I'm sure he would get more assists if he handled the ball more. But as we know with Clay, he doesn't need to, and he just doesn't. So I'm fine with it assist-wise. Rebounding, be nice if he could rebound a little more because he is 6'7". He's a big dude. But again, nitpicking here. Picking nits. But he is as important on this team as just about anyone, in my opinion. Obviously Steph can take a game over by himself, and you know, Clay can't do the things that Steph and KD can do, obviously, but they also can't do some of the things that Clay can do. Defensively, Steph cannot match Clay anywhere defensively. Shooting-wise, as great as KD is, he cannot reach the highs in three-point shooting that Clay can. 22 sounds just about right because he also is, I don't want to say hindered at all because he gets great looks, great efficiency on those shots also because of the team he plays on and the looks that he gets playing with four other All-Stars, but last year it was three other All-Stars. So could he put up more points if he got more opportunities? Yeah, but his efficiency in putting up 20 points a game is ridiculous. And the fact that his stats, or his most basic stats, you know, points, rebounds, assists, have all kind of hovered around this area for the last couple of years is a testament to him and his consistency. And they talk about his defense, which is obviously a huge part. You can't really quantify it as well as you can his points and efficiency in scoring and things like that. But he's one of, I don't know. I don't want to, you know, spit a hot take here, but in my opinion, at this point, if I had to make a choice between Clay and Draymond, I'd lean Clay. So there's that. You might disagree with me completely, and that's fine. But I just that's where my affinity for Clay Thompson is. And so he was ranked 22. Makes sense. Expect another great year out of Clay. Just consistent Clay. Consistent Clay, basically. Gets his points, gets his shots, plays defense, and doesn't frown, doesn't smile, doesn't say a word. Just goes home and plays with Rocco. You know, just classic Clay. I think Steve said it best, Steve Kerr. Yeah, I call him Steve. We're on a first-name basis. I think he said it best, I don't know, it might have been last year, 2 years ago. I forget when it was. But basically, we should all hope to be like Clay. He's got it figured out. So next was Draymond Green, and he came in at 13, which I was maybe a little surprised at, just because the way these rankings are, I feel like it leans more towards offense and points. And not that he shouldn't be at 13. But I just, like I said, I feel like these rankings lean more towards offensive output and not so much defense. But Draymond is a beast. He does so much for this team and for any team that he'd be on. And it's so funny to me, you know, you see the Twitter geniuses. NBA Twitter, the random nameless faceless guys telling me he's trash, which is ridiculous. He's one of the best power forwards in the game. Just because he doesn't put up 20 a night doesn't mean that he's not one of the best. Like, here's the thing. You look at his stat line, 11 points, 7.6 rebounds, 7.3 assists. So if you took, so Clay has what? 20 points, 3.8 rebounds, 2.5 assists. So if you gather up all that, all the, like let's say we say points, rebounds, and assists are all equal. They all matter equally. All stats matter, okay? Clay would have what? 26.3, something like that, 27.3? Draymond would be right about the same. Yeah, he'd have like 26.1, something like that. If you're just adding all those up and all stats matter. So for whatever reason, rebounds and assists don't get the same love as point totals do. I kind of understand it because points are literally points, you know. But assists should count just as much, in my opinion, if not more. Because one assist can usually, well, not usually, it always equals either 2 or 3 points. So, I mean, what can I say? You guys know Draymond. He's an absolute monster. And one of the quotes they threw out was one of the quotes that he said, actually, during draft evaluations was there are 82-game players and 16-game players. And he's looking for a 16-game player. And Draymond Green at this point is a 16-game player. As great as that first championship was, as great as the 73-win season was, once that finished, it was basically, okay, championship's all that matters. We can coast through the regular season, be a top 2-3 seed, but then once the playoffs start, that's when we lock in. It's a dangerous game to play, I understand, because you're just counting on being able to flip the switch, and they eventually did. And, you know, we can talk about the Rocket series, which was a tough one, and we will talk about that actually in a minute when we get to the next one of the next players to speak about. But at this point, Draymond Green is a 16-game player. He's not going for Defensive Player of the Year. He's going for championship number 4. But if I can just completely contradict myself right now, he might actually make a run for Defensive Player of the Year this year because of the Supermax implications that him winning that award would have. If he wins Defensive Player of the Year, he is eligible for the Supermax. Maybe the Warriors have talked with him and said, look, regardless of you winning Defensive Player of the Year or not, we're not giving you a Supermax. Because, personally, I wouldn't give him the Supermax either. It's just too much money. It's just too much. I wouldn't give Clay the Supermax. KD, if KD wants the Supermax, sure, fine. That's the price you pay for having the number 2 and number 3 guys on the top 100 list, as they both probably are worthy of Supermax deals. Draymond, love him. I think he brings stuff to the game that no one else does. But at the same time, I feel like his game will, I don't know, decline the fastest. I feel like the shelf life to his peak is shorter than the shelf life of KD and Steph's peak, if that makes sense, just because his game is so physical, so physically demanding. I just want to, let me just make sure you guys understand I'm not bashing Draymond at all. He's as important as anyone on this team, but if the decisions have to be made, I've mentioned where I stand. But he's absolutely incredible. He's one of the best in the game and probably underrated just because he doesn't put up 20 a night. So there's that. Klay and Draymond. Klay coming in at 22. Draymond at 13. We got KD and Steph coming up next, ranked number 3 and number 2 in the top 100 rankings. I'm going to break that down next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles D. Hamilton. And we're breaking down the Sports Illustrated top 100 players of the 2018-2019 season. Warriors had 6 in the entire list. Andre at 87, Boogie at 68, Klay at 22, Draymond at 13, Steph at number 3. And then KD at number 2. So I'm going to hit up the Steph Curry talk right now. And I'm going to read an excerpt from the actual list here, which I would recommend you guys all go check out. There's great stuff. And it's not just about the Warriors either. Like, the stuff on every player is really great. But this is a Warriors podcast, and I know what you guys want to hear about. So this is directly from the article, the post, what have you. You know the standards with Curry, 26.4 points per game, 5.1 rebounds, 6.1 assists, are well and truly out of control when a 50-40-90 championship season is met with a collective yawn. This is just par for the course when you're the superstar at the heart of one of the greatest teams of all time, not to mention the very reason for that team's existence. Kevin Durant would not have come to the Warriors if not for Curry. It was the environment that Curry had helped foster that enticed Durant in the first place. And it was Curry's willingness to accommodate Durant that sealed the deal. A dynastic team was born because Curry is exceptional even among superstars. When Curry has been on the court during the Steve Kerr era, the Warriors are 244-45, 844 winning percentage, a perpetual 69 win pace. Nice. So there's that. I mean, they summed it up basically. The craziest part with this Warriors run is the fact that his greatness, KD's great, the greatness of the Warriors is, I don't want to say boring because I'm not bored, but it's standard. It's expected. It's normal, I guess you could say. I'm still not bored with it at all. I mean, it's still greatness. Even when the Spurs were doing it and people complained about them being boring, I was like, why don't we just appreciate greatness when we see it instead of trying to tear it down? Where with the Warriors, it's greatness and it's exciting, even if it is expected. And even though it's expected, it's still pretty incredible. I mean, 50, 40, 90, 24 points, you know, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. It's not bad. Not bad. I do appreciate that, though, from SI, because from what we've heard mostly from, I think, a lot of national media about the Warriors is, oh, well, they're supposed to do it. Who cares? And SI did a good job of saying, no, this is incredible, and we need to appreciate it, especially Steph. And giving Steph credit for getting Kevin Durant here and fostering the environment that he has with the Warriors, that he would bring in a guy like KD, bring in a guy like Boogie. I remember the initial report from Mark Spears about getting Boogie was he was most touched or surprised or however you want to put it from Steph's reaction, that Steph was so on board with it. I don't know why. Maybe he just thought that they were two completely different people and that Steph wouldn't be now. Who knows why he was so surprised, but Steph is, he's all about winning, and we've seen that, and it has amounted to 3 championships and back-to-back years also. I don't need to tell you guys much more. You're Warriors fans. You understand the greatness of Steph and how much he means to this team. So, number 3, Steph Curry on the top 100 list. KD comes in at number 2. LeBron was at number 1, which I thought maybe this was the year KD would surpass him. But I still understand why LeBron came in at number 1. But anyways, the KD stuff, it, as much praise as SI gave Steph, SI still brought up KD's, you know, his choice to join the Warriors and his social media gaffes and just, I don't know. I'm pretty tired of hearing about it. But that's what we're going to hear. And we're going to hear about whether he wants to stay with the Warriors next year. Every single dribble he takes is going to be psychoanalyzed. And I'm not looking forward to that at all. Especially considering, you know, none of the people that are psychoanalyzing him are going to be qualified to do it. But that's what we signed up for, and that's what we get. And if that's the price we pay for, you know, back-to-back-to-back championships, it's fine. But it's going to be annoying. So they did bring up all the stuff about KD and all the whack stuff that we don't really care about. But I guess the masses do. Again, it's something I've realized. Not everything is written for my liking. I'm not the target audience for everything, so maybe some people read that and are like, yeah, he's bad on social media. What an idiot. But as far as the player KD goes, man, as important as anyone on this team, I don't know if they would have won the last 2 championships without him. They definitely would have won one, but both of them, I don't know. He's incredibly important, and I hate the narrative that Warriors fans don't like him, because I think that's bullshit. He has come in, he has embraced the city. I hope the city's embraced him. Just the idea that there are people on Twitter. One of the things that really kills me about this business of sports media is that we overrate Twitter so much. Twitter is the smallest percentage of people that are sports fans, and we act like you're born with a Twitter account. like it's the damn worldwide census. And that's just that's the opinion of everyone. That's everyone's opinion. You guys heard it. There are loud people on Twitter, so that's got to be the case. And it's not just Twitter. It's all social media. But Twitter is the smallest percentage of people that watch sports, or just in general. It's a small percentage of people on Twitter. And then the ones that are loud and obnoxious and spit these kind of stupid narratives about Warriors fans not liking Steph or not liking KD and mad that Steph is, you know, giving KD the reins or whatever the stupid narrative is, that's an even smaller percentage. So as much as it's nice to interact with people and talk sports, the fact that sports media take, because it's easy access. It's easy to see 10 people say the same thing and be like, oh, Warriors fans think this. But it's not even close. It's ridiculous. And I hate the narrative that Warriors fans don't like KD because I think it's bull, like I said. I think there's almost no truth to it. So I kind of got off track there, I guess. But KD number two, LeBron ranked at number one. Makes some sense because I think LeBron's going to go crazy during the regular season trying to lift this Lakers team. Like, I don't think he's going to take the regular season off because there's no guarantee that this team will make the playoffs. So I get it. Like I said, go check out the SI article. I think it's really great. They break down everyone, all 100 players that they ranked. It's definitely worth a read. One last piece of news, Russell Westbrook getting surgery, going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. I would bet that he's going to miss the opener. I don't know how you guys feel about that. I don't really care either way because Warriors, even if he played and the Warriors beat him, who cares? It's the first game. If the Warriors lose, uh-oh, Thunder have the Warriors number. So I don't really care either way. We'll see what happens with him. It's like his fifth surgery on his knee, but he hasn't had surgery in a couple years anyway, so we'll see how he bounces back. I'm sure he'll be fine, honestly, but he's going to miss some time, and we'll miss the opener. So that is it for Locked On Warriors for today. I'm Charles T. Hamilton. Be back next week, I think, unless anything breaks. I'm hoping some news breaks, man, but been saying that all summer. We are inching so close, man. So close to some actual hoops. I cannot wait. Y'all be safe out there. Have a good weekend. I know it's only Thursday, so get to work and then enjoy your weekend. I will talk to you guys next week. This has been Locked On Warriors, Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.